Good evening, everyone. Israel today is a small country located in the centre of the Middle East. We say it's a small country, it's about the size of Wales, and it's principally a nation of Jews. It's a source of contention within the world, a source of contention between different nations. Some think that it should not exist at all. And amongst those who think it should not exist, there are the more extreme, such as Iran or Syria. Both of those nations, amongst others, have sworn to utterly destroy the nation of Israel. And within the present borders of the nation of Israel, there are quite a number of Palestinians and Arabs. And some of these, supported by Islamic extremists, create terrorism and insurrection against Jews and against the state of Israel. And Israel, on their part, seek to destroy those areas and those people where insurrection comes from. If we were to go back around 20 years, we would see that during the Cold War period, America was very supportive of the state and nation of Israel, and Russia, the former Soviet Union, was very much against it. The story of the modern day state of Israel has only really occurred over the last 100 years. The Jews started to return to their ancient homeland when the British government issued a declaration in 1917 declaring Palestine as a homeland for Jewish people, sometimes called the Balfour Declaration. But it was only when the Nazis, during the Second World War, persecuted the Jews in the most extreme and horrific ways that the movement and the will amongst the nations to create a state, a nation of Israel, became a reality. It was that persecution which drove the Jews back to the land of Israel. And it was a reflection upon it which caused the nations to realise that they really ought to do something for the Jewish people. Since that time, there have been several wars between the nation or state of Israel and its neighbours. As a consequence of these conflicts, the Jews took possession of the whole of the city of Jerusalem and what we today, or you may hear in the news, described as the occupied territories. We'll have a look at this in a bit more detail in a few moments. So that's sort of sketched out the politics and the history. But as Christadelphians, we try to detach ourselves from any involvement in the politics. Our interest in Israel as a nation or state or people is purely from the point of view of what does the Bible say about the modern day state of Israel? What prophecies has it given that have been fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the near future? So first of all, we need to ask ourselves, where do the Jews and Israel come from? Well, the Bible provides us with the answer. If you turn with me, please, to Genesis and chapter 12. And here we're introduced to the individual Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. That land was the land of Palestine. I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham is promised that his descendants are going to become a nation or great nation. And in the fullness of time, God brought this to pass, delivering Abraham's descendants out of the bondage of Egypt and placing them in the land of Palestine. They were given a special law through God's servant Moses. They were given a set of commandments that if they obeyed, they would be greatly blessed. They would be an example to the nations around. They would be a holy people, an example to be followed of what it is to be godlike. But they decided to throw that opportunity away. They were also told if they failed in this responsibility that they would be scattered throughout the world. Let's have a look together at Deuteronomy and chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a prophecy of the then future of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Genesis 28, and we'll pick it up at verse 61. Genesis 28, verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. This is if they won't obey the commandments of God. Verse 62, ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. Ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. In verse 63, you may have noticed, it uses the expression plucked from off the land. And in verse 64, it uses the expression scatter thee among all people. The Babylonian, Assyrian power, and then later in history, after their partial return, the Roman power, both fulfilled these words. The Babylonians removed all Jews from the land in three phases of capture and migration, leaving in the end almost no one behind. The Jews were split up and deposited in various provinces of the Babylonian Empire. Many years later, the Romans attempted to rule over a predominantly Jewish nation in the land of Palestine. And after enormous political problems, and the only occasion in recorded history when an entire legion to a man was killed during a Jewish ambush in the land, the power of Rome responded and acted to fulfil these words once more. They took many tens of thousands of Jews as slaves and shipped them down to the slave markets in Alexandria in Egypt, and they actually passed a law stating that no Jew could live in the land upon pain of death. The consequences of these actions by the Roman authorities was that the price of slaves fell through the floor and they became worthless, and it created economic widespread problems throughout the empire. That is a gauge of how many thousands of people were involved in them being plucked off the land and then scattered or distributed amongst nations. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28 and verse 68. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. There ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Go back to verse 64 again. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other. There thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And when God says something's going to happen through his prophets in his word, then it always transpires. Even though man might be completely ignorant of the prophecies concerned and God's word, it will not prevent it from coming to pass. Now, historically, the Jews have been ill-treated everywhere that they have gone, including this country. In Britain, there have been historically documented persecutions of the Jews. Although the persecutions in this country might seem trivial compared with the horrors perpetrated by Nazi Germany, how the Jews would feel during this persecution is described to us in this chapter, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 65. Among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, thou shalt fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And that is an excellent description of the way the Jews were treated and their feelings and their response to it. They were treated worse than animals during the Second World War. And it's not something we want to contemplate. A trembling heart, no rest for their feet, a sorrow of mind, a terrible waiting to die. That's what's described in those verses. And those Jews who survived the concentration camps will never forget the sight of their eyes that filled their heart with fear, with terror, with horror. Although the kingdom of Israel was overthrown, God promised that the Jewish people would never lose their identity as a people and that he would not make a full end of them. We turn together to Jeremiah and chapter 30. Jeremiah 30 and verse 11. Jeremiah 30:11, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to Israel, to save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations whither I scatter thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So God's saying, yes, you will be plucked up out of the land. Yes, you will be scattered among the nations of the earth. Yes, you will have a terrible, distressing time and awful problems. But I will not forget thee. I will not make an end of thee as a people and as a nation. God says that he will regather and return them to their ancient homeland of Palestine. If we turn to Deuteronomy and chapter 30. It speaks of this. Deuteronomy 30. And verse 3. Deuteronomy 30, verse 3. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost part of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, the land of Palestine, the land of Israel, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. So here we have promised the return of the Jews to the land that was promised to their father Abraham, the land of Israel. Now, from a human point of view, all of this started in 1860 with a movement which is known as Zionism. And that describes for us, from 1860 to 1939, the development of Zionism as a movement, as a political force. In 1860, the conference first discussed the possibility of a Jewish home in Palestine. Things moved on. In 1882, the Jews seek a national retreat, preferably on the banks of the Jordan. In 1894, at Dreyfus trial, Theodor Herzl, a Jewish journalist from Vienna, becomes convinced that the Jews are a nation and need a national home. We move on in time. Number 9. In 1897, the first Zionist Congress urges a publicly and legally assured home in Palestine for the Jews. In 1901, Herzl has an audience with the Sultan in Constantinople, and he asks in vain for Palestine as a Jewish national home. The power of Turkey at the time had control or influence in the Middle East. Herzl even went to the Pope. Unsurprisingly, the Pope was not sympathetic to the idea of a Jewish homeland. And then finally, in 1917, the Balfour Declaration gives British support for the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. So we can see that there was a great political movement aspiring to the return of the Jews to a communal homeland. However, those people who were sympathetic to the idea of a Jewish homeland, a Jewish state, had all sorts of different ideas about where it should be. I'm not going to go through all of the detail on there, but every one of those arrows, every one of those points, is a different place where a government or political institution formally proposed that there should be a homeland for the Jews. It's almost everywhere, isn't it? Some of the places are really, really diverse. Madagascar. Vietnam. All of the different places on there were formally proposed as homelands for the Jews. Some of them were proposed as independent states, some of them were not. Man may debate, but God, in his word, tells us what's going to happen. We read together, "And the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it." So in the fullness of time, the United Nations came round to this idea. And that's what they came up with. The United Nations plan to divide the land of Palestine between Jewish and Arab administration. The darker shaded area is that which they apportioned to the Jews and the State of Israel. The shaded area, the Gaza Strip, the area in the north, and the area in the centre, including Jerusalem, was for Arab control and Arab administration. But once again, that's man's thinking. God had not spoken of the Jews returning to a part of the land of promise, had he? Let's open our scriptures again to Ezekiel this time in chapter 34. Because God was quite specific about where they would return to. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Verse 13. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture, that they feed upon the mountains of Israel. In those verses, it said no less than three times, the mountains of Israel. That's where man wanted to put the Jews, the darker areas, and he wanted the Arabs to be in control of the shaded areas. Well, where are the mountains in Israel? The mountainous area of Israel is in the centre. The very land that the United Nations had said the Arabs should have. In the centre of the land. God's word said differently to the United Nations. And once again, it was not the thoughts of man which occurred, not man's desires, man's designs, but rather the word of God that was fulfilled. In 1967, there was a war between the Arabs and Israel. Won't go into the details, but you can see that the various neighbours of the nation of Israel were all set against the Jewish people. It highlights there the total Arab strength. In terms of troops, they almost double the number of Israel troops. In terms of tanks, the Arab strength was roughly three times that of Israel. In terms of combat aircraft, the Arab strength was around three times the nation of Israel. And we need to understand as well as this, that the Arabs were very well equipped, principally by the Russians. They were very well organised, well drilled military setups, organisations. Israel, as a fledgling country, was extremely poorly equipped, and its organisation was almost non-existent. Israel, against all odds, won that war. And most importantly, the repercussion of that was they took control of the mountainous regions of Israel. That which God had said they would return to and occupy. And there you can see the way in which Israel took the Sinai Peninsula, pushing southward, pushing Egypt back to the Suez Canal. She moved north towards Syria and Lebanon and retook that central area of land, the mountains of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, as God had said. Together we've seen a number of things that God said would happen in relation to the Jews, the nation of Israel, that people. And every time they have been fulfilled. We've seen that in the last 100 years, there have been many occasions where men have thought, this is what should happen. This is what we're going to make happen. But it was contrary to what God had said in his word and the prophets. And what God had said in his word and in the prophets has been fulfilled to the letter. And this really begs a question, doesn't it? What does God say about the future for Israel? Well, Joel chapter 3, Ezekiel 38 and Daniel 11 all foretell of a great gathering of the nations to battle in the Middle East, before there is divine intervention and the return of Jesus to the earth in power and glory. Ezekiel, in his 21st chapter, spoke of the Israelitish monarchy coming to an end, the nation being overturned 3 times before a king would come who was worthy of the throne of David over Israel. The Jewish nation was overturned by the Assyrian-Babylonian power. It was overturned by the Romans. The third and final time lies in the near future, which will herald the return of Jesus Christ, the true King, the future King of Israel and of the world. If you turn with me to Luke and chapter 1. Ezekiel said there would be no royal throne in Israel until somebody would come along whose right it is. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. The angel says unto Mary, thou hast found favour with God. Verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him, Jesus, the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so the promise that the angel made to Mary was that her son Jesus would be the future ruler over the Jews and reign as their promised king. That unlike the kingdom of Israel of old, this would not be overthrown ever again, but it would continue forever. And many of the Old Testament prophets paint a picture of this restored kingdom of Israel as the centre of God's future worldwide kingdom upon earth. Let's turn to Zechariah and chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, and first of all, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Well, those words clearly have never been fulfilled in the past, and they must refer to the future. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will bring them, they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And so all of the blessings that way back in Deuteronomy were offered unto the nation of Israel that were conditional upon their obedience, they are going to have the opportunity to fulfill them once again in God's kingdom upon earth. Their relationship with the Father in heaven is going to be restored. Restored to one of truthfulness, obedience, love and joy. All of the blessings that were offered unto them are going to be fulfilled when Jesus returns to the earth. Well, I hope that we have seen together that God is actively working out his purpose with the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Today is our day of opportunity to make ourselves a part of God's purpose with the earth through belief and baptism. God's word is sure. So let us secure our eternal future through our belief in God's word and our response to it in baptism.